live.
Oh, is this thing on? I don't care. I want him to hear.
This is the pregame show, your early morning shot of sports on 95.7 The Game.
Come on! Oh, yes! Welcome in to this beautiful Thursday morning here in the San Francisco Bay Area. How we doing? Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. I'm your host this morning, Joe Spadoni. We got an hour. We got finals. Heat taking the L. Nuggets getting the job done. And they're doing what the Nuggets do. Listen, that game two was a little concerning. I think if you were a Denver Nuggets fan, just felt like you were dominating the whole game up and you're at home, got a double-digit lead, then you squander it. And it's easy for a young team, hell, a rookie head coach when it comes to his NBA Finals experience, and Michael Malone, you got Jokic, he's never been there. Jamal Murray, he's never been there. All these guys, hell, you got rookie Christian Brown, although it's spelled Braun, it kind of bothers me. But he stayed ready, and they didn't waver. And that Heat culture, it's real. And you have to tip their hat in game two. But in game three, Nuggets imposed themselves. And Nikola Jokic, my God, just an outrageous stat line for him last night in game three. 32-21-10. The first time that's ever been done in NBA Finals history. You kidding me? He's done that three times, that stat line or greater in the playoffs. Three! First time it's been done in the finals. The other two guys to do it? Yeah. Wilt and Kareem, and they only did it once. It's unbelievable the level of play that this guy is doing, and he's doing it in a way that we've never seen before. He's big, sure, but my guy's laboring. He looks like me after gym class circa freshman year, 2007, struggling. But he plays all the minutes. He doesn't complain. He's out there. He's putting Bam in a bind. He's putting Jimmy Butler in a bind. He's putting this whole Heat team in a bind. And Nikola Jokic, man, he talked about it after the game. And here was his thoughts on getting that stat line.
Tim McMahon, ESPN, I know you're not a guy who cares a lot about your stats, but when you have a line that's never been accomplished before in finals history, what do you think of that?
To be honest, I just think it's a win, you know, because if we lose, nobody's going to even mention. To be honest, I don't care. It's just a stat.
It's just a stat. And that's all that sums up Jokic perfectly. Because at the end of his career, his stats, hell, his career right now, his stats are ridiculous. And Morali, good morning on the YouTube chat. We are up and streaming on Twitch and YouTube. Go ahead and search 95.7 The Game in that search bar. Like, subscribe, favorite, whatever you need to do there. We appreciate it. Nicole, Morali, Stunna, appreciate all y'all chiming in this early. But Morali, he's so right. Nikola Jokic is the only player in NBA postseason history to lead in points, rebounds, and assists. Just ridiculous statistics. It truly is. And something else, as we talk here on the pregame show, and be sure to download that Odyssey app and favorite 95.7 The Game. Take us wherever you need to go. You can also hit us up at 888-957-9570. That's also the Comcast Business text line, so call or text that number. Again, 888-957-9570. Would love to get your thoughts on this historic performance. We'll also get into the Giants. They come from behind in Colorado yesterday. They get back to a game over 500. Could they be going on a little bit of a run here? Back-to-back wins in Colorado is a very, very good start. And also, we got another win? No. The A's didn't win another one in a row, did they? Where? Give it to me. That's not the song I wanted. That's not the song. Now, what is that? What was that? It's not the song I wanted. Horrible setup alert. Come on. There it is. Celebrate good times. We're doing that here on the pregame show. When they win, we'll play it. They're streaking, ladies and gentlemen. Our Oakland Athletics. It's two in a row over the Pittsburgh Pirates. They're going to look to make it three in a row heading over to Milwaukee now. Can they do it? Might be even a greater feat than what Jokic did last night. This A's team winning three in a row. Some are saying that. It would be a historic performance. Shout out the A's. On this pregame show, we celebrate these wins. I feel like Tony Soprano. When we, in this household, we celebrate great Italian-Americans. Antonio Meucci invented the telephone. Everybody knows it. And he got robbed. Give myself a three for my Tony. It's 5:06. It's early. We'll work on it. 888-957-9570. Getting back to this NBA Finals. Another major storyline as we're talking Jokic and incredible stat lines. This isn't the most incredible stat line, but for a rookie in Christian Braun, spelled Braun, it always trips me up, but for him to be that ready, and this is a guy that played 3 years at Kansas, 15 points last night, an assist, four boards. He stayed ready. He knew his role, and he executed, and he had the trust all season long. It wasn't just in the playoffs, because I think we're seeing that a lot, and I saw a lot of it on Twitter last night, going to the game. Saw from a lot of the Warriors insiders, a lot of friends. This is what it looks like when a rookie can contribute on a potential championship run. This is what it looks like. What Christian Braun did last night. And here's head coach Michael Malone of the Denver Nuggets. Now, Mike, don't call him that. Doesn't like it. Here's what Michael Malone had to say about his rookie.
No, he showed up with that. I mean, that young man, like I said earlier, Vinny, when you win three straight high school state championships, when you win a national championship in which he never came out of the game, played all 40 minutes, he's very confident, and he should be. I mean, like, we believed in him, we drafted him, and he's everything we hope for and more. But that confidence is something that his mother, his father, his family, that I think he's had from a very early age.
Confident. Ready, prepared. Does that sound like any of the Warriors' young players this year in the playoffs? Moses Moody, okay. He was ready. He didn't waver. Kuminga didn't really get a chance. You thought in the regular season they were seasoning him well to be primed to play some minutes in the playoffs, to play against the Kings or the Lakers. You thought that. But then Wiggins came back. Kuminga was doing everything in this Wiggins absence. That's when he started to show out. Again, not blaming Andrew Wiggins for this, but having a two-month absence is going to have some ramifications. And it did. And it had some ripple effects. But what we saw last night was a guy in a rookie in Christian Braun having the trust of his coaching staff all year round. So much so that they're giving him crucial minutes in the NBA Finals on the road in Miami, hostile environment, coming off a loss. And again, the coaching matchup, I cannot say more enough about Eric Spoelstra. He's one of the best coaches of all time. 1A, 1B, whatever, best coach in the league today. Michael Malone, if he wins this one, vaults himself up into the top five. Hell, maybe top four. This would be an impressive run if he is able to complete it. Two more wins. It's not over. He can tie this up. This could easily go seven. But as great as Jokic last night, I think a lot of Warriors fans are looking at that performance from Christian Braun and being like, man, we couldn't get that. We couldn't get a Austin Reeves-type performance or a Lonnie Walker-type performance from just one of these guys in one of these games. We couldn't get that. Sure, we got a Gary Payton game here. Sure, we got, you know, Klay Thompson or Draymond Green in one of those games in the Kings series, game two against the Lakers. Okay, but you needed a Jordan Poole game. And the only time you had a Jordan Poole game was in a loss in game one, And you know what? He got scapegoated because he took a heat check shot towards the end of the game to try to tie it up. And then we crushed him, even though he was the only one that showed up offensively for most of that night. So I'm looking at Steve Kerr, and I'm looking at whoever the next GM, whether it is Mike Dunleavy Jr., and I'm looking at this Warriors coaching staff, development. That's what I'm circling. Couldn't do it with James Wiseman, right? Moses Moody was in and out of the G League. How's his confidence going to be next year if he's still not getting a lot of minutes in the regular season? I would hope he is after that playoff performances he just had. Kuminga, what's his role going to be? I would expect it to be bigger, but if you bring Draymond Green back, is that going to hinder things with Andrew Wiggins being there too? So there's lots of interesting storylines in this offseason. We'll continue to talk about them, but I just thought that performance last night from Christian Brown, what can Brown do for you, was just very, very indicative of how bought in the Denver Nuggets are as a team and how the Golden State Warriors just weren't. 888-957-9570. We can continue to take your calls and texts on Nuggets Heat as we shift to the Giants and Rockies. And hey, we had some offense last night, some clutch offense, but we also had some clutch defense.
McMahon pulls it into right field. Conforto makes a catch, tumbling over to save a couple runs.
Massive play in hindsight there from Michael Conforto. Second inning, that would have scored 2-1, two more runs, I should say, and would have made the game 5-0 at that point in favor of Colorado. Get the game-saving catch, start chipping away. Casey Schmidt, 2 RBI single.
On the ground, and that one makes it through. Schmidt comes through. Haniger in. And the slide from Slater. He scores ahead of the throw. It's a one-run game.
One-run game. Giants are tied up. And then we're getting a catcher squeeze play? What?
Here it comes. And it's bunted. He bunted it. The flip, the slide, safe at home. Haniger found a way to get to the plate, and Patrick Bailey puts on the squeeze play to put the Giants ahead.
Doval would close it out. It's just what he does. This guy's automatic, by the way, Camilo Doval. Guy's sick. And it's not an easy task. Like, I'm not here to crush Logan Webb or anything like that. Got away from him a little bit early, but whenever a pitcher goes to Colorado, I just look at it with, that's a separate thing. That's a separate stat base. Oh, it starts in Colorado. Eh. I'm grading that on a curve, if you will. And holding the Colorado Rockies to 4 runs might as well be 2 for me in any other ballpark. 5-4? That's like 1-0 anywhere else. That's like 2-2-3, 3-2, whatever. It can get away from you very quickly in Colorado. The Giants know that better than anyone, playing them all these years. But they didn't waver. They came back, and it was the rookies contributing. It was the young guys. The youth movement is in full effect, and it's so refreshing to see. You can finally cheer for some young guys and not be afraid if they're going to get hurt, and then they're just going to not pick up their option, or they're not going to pick up their option next season. The Schmidts, the Baileys, the Dovals, the Estrada, the Lamont Wades being clutch at first base. Been very surprised with his defense. Did not think he had this in his game. And for being as slow as a leadoff hitter he is, guy just hits. Smart. Doesn't take bad pitches. Batting .288, .428 on base percentage. Slugging .478. Guy's a winner. Estrada didn't have the greatest night at the plate. But you know what? He hasn't wavered. Been very impressed with Tyro Estrada. Guy's batting .300. How can you not be? Conforto, again. It's not just the offense. They've been making some clutch defensive plays. I saw Crawford yesterday making some clutch plays. Yeah, he's old. We've crushed him a little bit because the bat hasn't been there. As of late, a little bit better. Overall, still batting .188. Not the greatest. But the defense was a major, major concern last year. And it seems like they've turned a major, major page. Are they still one of the best? No. But significantly improved. And they needed to if they hope to contend for at least a wild card berth. And right now, hey, You're game over 500. Anything could happen. Let's take a look at our standings right now. NL standings. They're right in the thick of things. Game over 500. You know, the Pirates just took two L's. They were up there as one of the better teams in the league, the Marlins. As we look at the National League standings, da-da-da-da-da. And here we go. Giants, right now, as it stands today, just a game out. Pittsburgh, who just lost again, two in a row to the A's. Got the Dodgers in the lead spot for the wild card. Hoo-hoo! Yeah, those that Arizona team, who the Giants are going to be facing again, they're for real. It's not like the Dodgers aren't, but man. They're skidding a little bit, though. Four straight for the Dodgers. By the way, you see that dude for the Reds yesterday? Hit that tank. Ellie De La Cruz. He's supposed to be like the next phenom in the league. My God. 6'5". He's 21. What was that, 480 feet he hit that yesterday in Cincinnati? My God. I'm going to have to cut that highlight at the break just to play it on the other side. Unbelievable. What? As I digress here, the Giants are right in the thick of things. And if they could just build some momentum on this road trip coming back home, you're going to start seeing Farhan being more and more aggressive at that trade deadline. Hell, he hinted on Sirius XM radio just a few days ago that they would be aggressive at the deadline.
You know, when we look at our team, we think it's a pretty deep team. You know, we've worked really hard on our depth. We've worked really hard creating a layer of younger depth where when we have injuries, when we have need, we can go to AAA, we can go to Sacramento and bring guys up. And that's been a theme for us. You touched on it at the beginning of this conversation. And that's what our hope is that as we need reinforcements, or even if guys are banging the door down, that the improvement comes from within. So we're not really thinking about needs so much because I don't really think we have glaring holes on our team. You know, you mentioned we've got a lot of guys in our lineup swinging the bats well. Our pitching staff's done a nice job. Our bullpen's really stepped forward after a slower start. So, you know, we think we have everything we need to compete within the walls of our clubhouse. But like you said, the trade deadline's a long way away. Injuries can happen. Other things can happen. So I think as we approach it, it's really a goal of ours to be in the playoffs this year. So I think we'll be aggressive when we get to that point.
It's their goal to be in the playoffs this year. You heard it from the man himself, GM or basketball, baseball ops, whatever. I hate all these titles. He's the guy that makes the moves. All right? I ain't jumping around that. Remember back in the day, it just used to be GM, not president of baseball or basketball or football or whatever. It was just the dude. Like, that's why I view Billy Beane still in Oakland. I was like, okay, Billy Beane's, he's still the GM to me. I know he has like an ownership stake or something like that. I want to sell that. I don't know. Going to Vegas, maybe? We'll see. Lots of legislation talk. I need to read up on it, catch up on it. Man, that thing was going up until like midnight or something ridiculous. Again, special counsel meeting as the A's are doing their chats, Cavill and co. Trying to lobby for a stadium. We'll see what happens there. I'll keep you updated. But as it pertains to the Giants and the trade deadline, they need another starter pitching, right? Just another guy. And we were talking about Lucas Giolito. He's a free agent, though. Be a rental. Shane Bieber's the guy, to me. If you're looking at the future, he's got another year under control. ARB. But that's kind of the guy that Farhan looks at. Like, hey, I can get another control for this guy. Maybe it doesn't work out. We flip him. He still has value. And Farhan, what we know about him, he's not giving those five-year pitcher contracts for starters. He's just not doing that. 3 to 4, I think, is more comfortable. And you know what? Looking at some of the contracts that were dished out this offseason, I think it kind of proved Farhan right. I mean, it sucks to see what happened with DeGrom, Tommy John, he's done for the year. Carlos Rodon, the forearm tightness, it looks like he's ramping back up. He's just going to pitch again soon here, potentially. But you start looking at some of these big deals and lots of money-type deals for starting pitchers, it's a forearm tightness or throw away from blowing up in your face. And Farhan, to his credit, protects himself from those kind of deals. So, could they add a Shane Bieber? Could they add a rookie to this rotation? Oh, a rookie that we've been talking about seemingly for the past year and a half, Kyle Harrison. How's he looking, Farhan?
And it's pretty clear when you look at his stat sheet that there's still a little bit of a ways to go in terms of really attacking the strike zone, limiting the walks. I mean, as an example of how close I think he is, maybe even closer than the numbers reflect, I was watching his last start, you know, on Milk TV, and, you know, for the first hitter, he worked a full count, strike three looking, the pitch got challenged and could not have been closer to the strike zone, but still pinballed the ball. So that got overturned. He wound up blocking that guy. The next guy, he goes 0-2 and kind of clips him on a back foot slider. You know, two guys that he pitched pretty well to, and he winds up putting them both on base. So that's a tiny bit of refinement. It looks worse in the box score than it really is, but he's been working on attacking the zone more. We work with him on a harder breaking ball that we think he can command a little bit better, and he's been using that his last couple outings. So, you know, the season-long walk numbers are going to come down more slowly, but we're more evaluating him start to start. And if he puts a two or three start stretch together where he's really showing better command, that'll be all we really need to see.
Farhan Zaidi there talking about Kyle Harrison. Still a little ways away. All right. But man, wouldn't that be a nice little addition to this rotation if he ends up being that dude for this team? And I'm not saying, listen, it's hard. This game's hard. He can come up, get shelled, get sent right back down, never see him again. I get it. But the way we've been talking up Casey Schmidt, he's lived up to the billing. The way we've gassed up Patrick Bailey, he's lived up to it. And if you could add Kyle Harrison to that mix, it's kind of a three-headed monster of rookie studs for the San Francisco Giants. And I'm starting to get very, very excited about the future of this team. Adding in the Camilo Doval, adding in the Lamont Wade Jr., adding in the Tyro Estrada. That's a hell of a unit right there. It's a hell of a unit. And here's Dave Fleming, who you heard earlier on the calls for the Giants, NBC Sports Bay Area, R95.7 The Game, Giants Insider, talking about Patrick Bailey and Buster Posey comparisons?
And I didn't know exactly what to expect from him. He looks like he's been doing this for a long time. He does have that innate quality, and that really is what Buster had. Now, look, is he the player Buster was? No, he is not. Is he going to be Buster Posey? He is not. We're talking about one of the all-time greats. There's nothing that I'm saying negative about Patrick Bailey and saying he's not going to be Buster Posey. Buster Posey is a once-in-a-lifetime player at that position. But what the two of them share is that just sort of almost like inborn understanding of what that position requires, the demeanor of being on the field in the middle of all the chaos, and I think especially the ability to process these guys.
Dave Fleming there on the Morning Roast yesterday, 95.7 The Game. Here's more from Dave talking about Casey Schmidt and being a little worried about his chase rate. That's been the best, batting what, about 200 the last couple weeks. He's cooled down significantly. And here's why Dave is a little skeptical on that.
Just a little worry. The numbers are not pretty after the first week. They aren't. And he's going to have to make that adjustment. And he absolutely can, and I am very confident that he will. The problem is, and where you have to thread the needle here, is the Giants think they're a playoff team. They're trying to contend. Casey gave him a huge jolt when they really needed it. But now how do you balance allowing a young player to learn while you also want to win games? Now, I think it's going to be easier with a healthier lineup. There's not, you know, if Casey's hitting eighth or ninth and you're getting production up and down, it's a lot easier to say, hey, go pick it clean, play your great defense, and work through some of your growing pains. That makes it a lot easier. So I hope that's what happens here.
888-957-9570 is the number if you would like to get involved talking Giants and their future prospects. And listen, the youth movement's been paying off. Can they add here at the deadline coming up here? Can they continue this run? Hell, they're not adding if they don't think they have a chance to make the playoffs. Farhan said they'll be very aggressive because that's the goal. Can they and will they make the playoffs? Right now, they're game out. It's early. I get it. You want to wait till August? I'm just as skeptical. I'm that fan. I don't believe it till I see it. I'm not. But sooner or later, you got to take a risk here if you're Farhan Zaidi. Now, I think it could pay off. Why? Because you start looking at that young talent. The tricky part comes into play here, though, for Farhan. Let's say a guy like Shohei becomes available, right? And you're the Angels. You come calling. Do you just give up everything for him? Is he that kind of player? You giving up the Harrison? You giving up Matos? You giving up all these dudes? Luciano in the farm system? You giving up all those guys? Are you adding in a Patrick Bailey or Casey Schmidt? What if they just ask for the King's ransom? Are you doing that for Shohei? You doing it for that type of player, that caliber of player? Or you said, listen, you know what? I think we have a chance to build something special with all these young guys that have been coming up and that can continue to come up. So I can part with maybe one or two and that's it. But I can go get a Shane Bieber or someone like that. Or a Paul Blackburn or a Giolito. Somewhere a little cheaper. It's not going to cost me as much. But you know what? I shore up that third or fourth pitching spot. And I'm looking pretty damn good heading into the playoffs potentially. 888-957-9570. We'll continue to talk Giants-Rockies. We'll continue to talk Nuggets-Heat. NBA Finals Game 3. Nuggets take out the Heat 109-94. Jokic 30-20-10. First time it's been done in NBA Finals history. He's done that three times in his NBA postseason career. Only Wilt and Kareem have been the other two to do that, and they only did it once, and it was not in the NBA Finals. So we'll continue to discuss that. Plus another development down in the Big Easy. A franchise player and a porn star that's mad at him? I think we have a little experience about that here in the Bay Area. I'll explain on the other side on the pregame show. 95.7 The Game.
Now, back to the pregame show on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back. The pregame show, Joe Spadoni, 95.7 The Game. Been talking NBA Finals, Game 3 reaction. Joker's just sick. He might be my favorite Joker, surpassing Jack Nicholson, Heath Ledger, Mark Hamill, the voice of the animated Joker. Joaquin Phoenix. I'm not even going to mention the other one. The hipster. But I don't even know what that was. Jared Leto. No. That was a disgrace. Whatever that attempt was. I don't think it was Jared's fault. Unless they told him, hey, here's this, you know, the Joker. You should do you. If he did that on his own, that's a problem. So he was getting that from the script and stuff like that. And that's the direction the studio wanted to go. That's one thing. God, that was horrible. Horrible Joker. As I digress, talking Giants, Farhan sound. Two in a row. Call that a streak, folks. Back-to-back wins in Colorado starting off this road trip. Game over 500. Are there moves in the horizon? We heard from Farhan. He says they're going to be aggressive. The goal is to make the playoffs. But even if they don't, and that always should be the goal. And the goal this season, yes, it should absolutely be making the playoffs. You look at some of the teams in front of the Giants in the standings as it pertains to the wild card. The Miami Marlins, seven games over. Hell, they've won six in a row. Are they going to stick around? Would you bet on that? I'm not betting on it. Pittsburgh, they're already kind of fading. They've lost two in a row. And then they got the Giants. Behind them, you got the Mets, got Phillies, Cincinnati, San Diego. Out of all those teams, and the Dodgers are currently in the lead, 35-27. It's them and the Arizona Diamondbacks. Are they going to duke it out the rest of this year? That would be a fascinating, fascinating watch. Could we potentially see the Giants in there? A little ways to go. I get it. But the NL West is stacked. I'm not sleeping on the Padres. I think they'll play better as the year goes on. Soto, it's not been his best year. Machado, Tatis, the pitching. Is Bo Mel going to get that thing turned around? I would bet more on that than Miami continuing to play that they're playing. Than Pittsburgh continuing to play the way they've been playing. Phillies, I think they were due for an off year, a down year. The loss of Rhys Hoskins, that was tough. Mets, been a disappointment. It's five straight losses now for them. But they're stacked too. So this NL wildcard race, and I know we don't like adding that third team, it kind of waters down the league, but it opens the door for all these teams that I just mentioned to battle out towards the end of the year, and that's what they want. They want eyeballs. The league wants eyeballs. They want these marquee franchises that I just mentioned. The Mets, the Giants, the Phillies. Hell, the Pirates if they're still in it. San Diego now, one of the up-and-coming hot young teams. They want the eyeballs. And it could be a very, very fascinating year for the Giants if you got the young guys developing, you add in some pieces, and then all of a sudden, you're looking like a legit contender. Are they going to win a World Series? No. But could they contend for one in the coming years? I feel a lot better about those chances today than I did just a few months ago. And I got to tip my cap to Farhan there, because he needed to show us something with the farm system after whiffing in free agency, after whiffing on Aaron Judge, after whiffing on the Carlos Correa, backing out of that, after not getting any of those tuna, those big fish, if you will, settling for the halibut or the mackerel and the Confortos and the Hannigers. But you know what? If we're doing fish comps here, you got some young feisty piranhas eating their way through these lineups. Bailey's, Schmidt, Doval, Estrada. Keep building this thing. Eventually get a whale, potentially, and Kyle Harrison coming up. Yeah. I'm going to start believing. I'm a believer. Shout out the Monkees. 888-957-9570. Your thoughts on that? Are the Giants potentially building something special here, or is it too early? Do I need to pump my brakes? I'm talking myself into it, but it's also 5:38 a.m. I get it. Some of you may not be ready for that hot of a take, but I think potentially, the Giants are building something special. 888-957-9570 is the number. Call or text. The Comcast Business text line is always open. And the phone lines are always open here on the pregame show. Twitch and YouTube is also an option for you. Go ahead and like, subscribe, search 95.7 The Game there. In the search bar on either platform, go ahead and hit me up and give me a follow on Twitter, at @Spadoni_Joe. And also be sure to download that Odyssey app and favorite 95.7 The Game. You can take us everywhere you need to go. We can talk Giants. We can talk Warriors. We can talk Niners. Hell, you can download the Odyssey app. We could talk New Orleans Pelicans. Didn't think I was going to get a New Orleans Pelicans conversation in here. But you know what? When Stephen A. drops the video he did yesterday in regards to Zion Williamson dating a porn star named Mariah Mills, impregnating, supposedly, another woman. Not Mariah Mills, but someone else. While Zion was seeing said porn star, it creates some drama, creates some headlines. And when I saw Stephen A. break it all down, I was like, oh my God. And the producer in me is like, there's so many drops in here. There's so many drops. So without further ado, before we hit the break here, here's Stephen A. breaking down the latest with Zion Williamson and porn star Mariah Mills. Take a listen.
The name Zion Williamson came up because apparently he's about to be a daddy.
He's about to be a dad.
The person who's about to make him a new father is not the person that was on social media talking about him. A girl by the name of Mariah Mills calling him out by name, giving vivid details of their encounters with one another. She's a porn star. Where am I going? Man, you only played 29 games last year. And you missed the season before that. What the hell is taking you so long to get healthy? Well, now I know. You're young, you're not married, you can do what you want to do. It's a damn shame she's putting your stuff out like that. You need to cancel her. But there's a bigger issue here. I mean, she's a porn star. Well, one would surmise she's kind of an expert at whatever it is she does. You know, I've been waiting for the leg injury to cure to heal, Zion. I've been waiting for a while. She's been waiting for a while. I mean, damn, bro. No wonder you ain't healthy. I'm talking about your legs. We need those legs spry. We need you bench pressing with your big self. We need you bench pressing about 400 pounds. We need you running up and down that court. He's a man child. But you can't get healthy. Your lower extremities were compromised.
Oh my God, that's an all-timer from Stephen A. Smith. Give that last one to me again.
Your lower extremities were compromised.
Oh my God. Why does he feel like David Caruso in what was it, Horatio or whatever in CSI Miami putting on the shades?
Your lower extremities were compromised.
Thank you, Stephen A., for all the drops. I found a few more in there that I'm going to get at the break just because I missed it on the first listen through. That's just, oh my God.
She's a porn star.
We got to take a quick break. We'll get more into this. If you want, 888-957-9570. Joe Shasky is joining me next for the crossover. I'll pick his thoughts on that. We'll play it again because I just need that again in my life. This is the pregame show, Joe Spadoni. Don't go anywhere. 95.7 The Game.
Your lower extremities were compromised.
Now, back to the pregame show on 95.7 The Game.
In the place to be. Oh, yeah.
Oh, welcome back. Pregame show with Joe Spadoni, 95.7 The Game. Joe Shasky is going to join me here in just a second for the crossover, as he does each and every Monday through Friday. But first,
If we did a show together,
yeah,
we'd be the Shiesty Spoon.
Shiesty Spoon?
I don't know why.
Okay. I can see that.
No.
No.
I got to workshop.
You got to workshop that one.
Yeah.
I like our last name. It works. Spadoni Shasky. Like, I can see us like selling real estate or something like that, you know, or like a law firm or something. Right?
Hugh Honey and Vic Vinegar?
Mm-hmm.
Always Sunny in Philadelphia? Dude. Are you unaware?
I'm unaware of that specific reference. I am aware of the show.
They were selling real estate. And Dennis, I forget which one was which, but it was Hugh Honey and Vic Vinegar, and it was Dennis and Mac. It's one of the, I mean, all of the episodes are funny, but look it up one day. You'll get a
good
kick.
They're still doing that, aren't they? I think they're still making new episodes.
You know,
which is crazy, because it's been around since like 06, 07, something ridiculous.
The early ones could have got them canceled.
Oh, totally. Well, 2000, well, you just look at The Office, early days of that, too. Like, it's amazing how they're trying to reboot that, by the way. What are we doing? Can we stop rebooting stuff that just came out 15 years ago?
Did I tell you when I went to the movie theater recently? You know, saw Guardians of the Galaxy, all the previews. There was one original movie. It was The Elements or Elemental.
Elemental, yeah, Pixar. It looks great.
Looks really good, right? Completely creative, unique, and original. And I'm like, I'm all in.
Which is what I associate Pixar with. Very unique and 100%. Original. Yes.
Everything else, reboot or part of a larger galaxy, and it was like a spinoff, or a complete like, oh, this is part of the franchise.
It's just, it's we've
and
gotten
by the
lazy.
Way, I was seeing Guardians of the Galaxy 3, but like that was a worthy trilogy.
Well, you know what you're going into with that. That's
exactly.
Fine. It's part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. That's fine. Like, but to your point, we've just gotten lazy when it comes to stuff like that. Like, and this need for nostalgia for our generation specifically, and then this next one coming up, whatever, Gen X?
Yes.
And the millennials and Gen X's need, specifically the Gen X need for nostalgia, it's very odd to me.
Well,
very odd.
It's funny that you reference this. Yesterday, Steiny and I, and every now and then, you know, I'll go in the other room. And
Steiner.
I like to pick the brand. You know, you got to be respectful of the old, right? And so I try to go in every single
day. Okay, boomer. Yeah.
I know. I try to go in every day. No, but I like to pick Steiny's brain because he thinks very differently than me. So I find him to be very interesting because his settings are much, much different than mine. He goes to me, he goes, Montana was like 50 years ago. Steve Young was like 30 years ago. I mean, he's right.
It's true.
So what I'm going at is, why do Niner fans, Why do most of them, who never even saw either of them play, the majority of them, use those guys as the gold standard when we've been so separated from when that happened? The game is so sophisticated and has changed so much. I'm not taking anything away from those guys. But I'm saying, why is that the metric for everything that we do when it comes to Niner quarterback stuff?
It's because that's when they won, right? So you always go back to when you won the title. Let's do it exactly like that, like when that happened. Let's go back to the 90s. What did we
do?
Oh, we had Joe Montana. We had a defense. I was like, okay. But the game's changed in such a way where it's such a quarterback-driven league now. Back then, Joe Montana could have been running, just handing it off the whole time, and you know what? You won the game. Like, Tom Brady, he did that early in his career, sure. But as it evolved, what did he have to do, Joe? He had to throw the ball.
Absolutely.
I look at that Eagles game where they lost the Super Bowl the second time to Nick Foles. He threw for like 550 yards. They abandoned the running game. You know why? Because the game's changed.
Yes.
Like, scoring matters now.
And that's not taking away from the old.
No, it's not taking away from it, but you adapt. Like, that's the problem with society, adapting. You're going back to the movies.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Gotta adapt. Like,
point.
We can't just keep rehashing the same old thing. It's just not going to work.
That's a really good point. That's a good counter. Well, let me ask you this. Let's say they had won a Super Bowl with Alex Smith in 2011. Would the prism that we view quarterback play through, would it be completely different? Because I think it would. Had they had one, let's say Harbaugh wins that first one with what I would call game manager, and I'm not taking anything away from Alex, but let's call it what it is. I mean, game manager style quarterback play, picking and choosing your spots and relying on the run game and the defense. Like, that was the last championship they won. Don't you think? Because now I'm starting to believe what you're saying. Don't you think that we would view everything at the quarterback position a little differently?
Oh, no, 1,000%. We'd be like, we don't need a big, good quarterback. Yeah. We had Alex Smith.
Yeah.
He took us to something.
Just don't ruin it.
Just don't ruin it. That's hey, Jimmy Garoppolo, just don't make those 0-0 throws. We would have been fine. That's absolutely what they would be doing right now. And it's kind of funny that you say that, because I'm looking around and Chris Sims' quarterback rankings and stuff like that. At the end of the day, it's just interesting.
I get a good kick out of it, too. I like the rankings.
Like, people get all worked up about it.
It's just opinion.
Yeah, who cares? Like, it's just great content for us to pick apart and stuff like that. But I was looking at it, and I was like, these teams, right, that some of these quarterbacks are quarterbacking for, what conference you're in matters the most.
100%.
Right now.
Dude, the NFC is loaded.
And I'm looking at the NFC right now, and it's kind of funny you bring, like, just Alex Smith. For this Niners team, it's kind of all you need to be. Because I'm looking around the landscape. Matt Stafford's arm is about to fall off. I don't know what he's going to be with the Rams. I'm looking at Derek Carr. Okay, great. You gave him $100 million. He's going to be the same old Derek Carr. Ooh, he has a defense now, though. Oh, my God.
If Jake Haener starts a couple games, is anyone surprised?
No, I'm not going to be surprised. But, like, you're looking at the landscape, and you're getting the picture here. It's Jalen Hurts. It's whoever's the Niners quarterback. Who else is out there?
Jordan Love.
Jared Goff.
Kirk Cousins.
Come on.
Danny Dimes.
That's why the more I look at
it. Dak Prescott.
Just give Christian McCaffrey the ball. Just dump it off to that guy. Make it work. Now the problem.
Just give Christian. It's so true.
It's so true, right? Like,
it's so true.
Like, and then when I look at it as the flip side, because eventually the whole thing is about winning a Super Bowl, right? So when you do meet up these AFC quarterbacks, that's when it's going to start.
That's one game.
That is the game. And you
that's
know
a good point.
You know who's coming out of the AFC is going to be a damn good quarterback, Joe.
It's true.
So if it's Brock Purdy, if it's Trey Lance, if it's, hell, Sam Darnold, I got to be damn confident my guy can outduel that guy at the end of the day. You confident in that right now? Brock Purdy? Outdueling Patrick Mahomes? Come on.
Maybe I'm a prisoner.
I mean, Eli Manning, I guess, did it to Tom Brady, no, so there's precedent, but Eli Manning was a top five pick.
Look, I think Brady, in terms of accomplishments, is the most decorated, you know, player in the NFL. In terms of historical team accomplishments, it's undeniable. I feel like I'm watching quarterback play at the highest level when I'm watching Patrick Mahomes. And maybe I'm jaded. Maybe, Joe, it's the rules. Joe, it's Andy Reid. Okay,
no, you're not saying that Patrick Mahomes is better than Tom Brady. You're just saying that there's no one that has played the quarterback position better when he is on the field than him. He's not more accomplished than Tom Brady.
No.
He's not going to go down as the greatest of all time, although he might be in the conversation.
It's been five straight AFC championship games.
It's unreal. It's unbelievable. He is Stephen Curry right now, but in football form.
I saw
whoever did the comp.
What's the flaw in his game?
Patrick Mahomes? He doesn't have one. Sometimes he throws across his body, but you know what? Half the time it's a good play.
Well, like Brett Favre was reckless, right?
Well, we used to say gunslinger.
Okay,
right?
Do you view Mahomes as a reckless gunslinger?
No,
I don't either.
Because more often than not, when he tries to do those crazy things, they work.
I know.
That's the thing, like, how many times, like, when Tyreek Hill was on the squad, it's like, oh my, and trust, I'm a Raider fan. I'm wearing the shirt right now if you're on Twitch and YouTube.
Yeah.
I see it all.
He's so sick.
He does it every single time. You think you got him, Max Crosby. You think you got him down. Evades. He does this thing where it pisses me off. He just chills right behind the line of scrimmage.
Yes.
Just shuffling his feet, and then just hammers one right across his body, 20-yard dime, and it's just, what do you do against that, Joe?
He's got Brett Favre qualities with Aaron Rodgers' precision.
Yes.
And it's almost like he was made in a lab.
And then he has the Tom Brady clutch gene. Like, he has everything.
You're right.
He has everything.
I know.
If you modeled a quarterback.
He's like, so good.
And we're trying to put this on Caleb Williams, that he's like the next Patrick Mahomes. He's not going to be the next Patrick Mahomes. You want the skill set? Sure. You want the strong arm. You want the ability.
Yeah, I mean,
Mahomes, you want the swag.
Is so high. It's so unfair.
It's unfair.
I know Bonte teases me about it. I'm just saying, when I watch Caleb, I see some of the qualities. I mean, Mahomes has got all the qualities, but some of the qualities that Mahomes possesses.
Totally.
But to make the leap from, oh, he's going to be the... No. I'm not saying anything. But, like, command of the huddle.
Yes.
Presence at the line. You know... Okay, here's the only knock I can think of Mahomes. Sometimes he hangs in the pocket a tad long and takes a hit that maybe he shouldn't. But isn't that like a byproduct of the game, too?
That's his arm arrogance, too. That's his arm arrogance. Like, you know what? I'm the best player on this field. I trust myself hanging in a split second more. And it's going to get the job. And you know what? More often than not, that split second, that extra second that he's allowed to stay there, it works. And I hate him for it. Because every single time, you think about it. And his arm strength is so unreal. And God, I'm doing this Patrick Mahomes love fest right now. And I don't like to do it because I'm a Raider fan. And I hate his guts. But damn it, he's so good when he just sits in the pocket. You can be going down. His lower body is getting sacked.
It's but incredible.
But he's still able to throw a 50-yard dime.
It's
unbelievable. And we talk about the Josh Allens, the Joe Burrows. Those guys are great.
He's just a whole nother level.
And it was so disrespectful when people were starting to put Justin Herbert and Joe Burrow over him last year. I was like, Herbert, do you watch the game?
Herbert looks the part, but doesn't... He doesn't do... Like, he's a really good player. This is going to sound like I'm not. He's a really good player. Mahomes is the gold standard.
Yes.
Like, it's almost...
And he's in his own division. Like, we see it every single time. Like, when they play each other. Like, at the end of the day, those Chargers-Chiefs games are close. It's Mahomes pulling it out.
I mean, as Chris Paul gets released yesterday...
Oh, that's fascinating. Like, you have to talk about
Steph
Curry, that,
And then there's, like, not even a Grand Canyon, but there's a whole nother level down, and then there's Chris Paul. Chris Paul is going to go down. You know, whether you love him or hate him, you have to respect. He's a top 10 point guard of all time?
Yeah. Yeah, top 10. I would put him there.
Is that flippant to say that because he doesn't have the championships?
Well, no, because I put in Dan Marino as a top 10 quarterback of all time, but he didn't win a chip, right?
Yeah.
Is that, like, blasphemous?
No, but, like, do you see where I'm going? Like,
he's also 39, and people are still crushing him. It's like, it's the same thing when I go with LeBron. I was like, are we still going to be crushing these guys that late into their careers when they're doing unbelievable stuff? Like, Chris Paul's still having great games at the age of 39, 38, whatever he is. It's pretty unbelievable. Well,
you know what I tapped out on hate, like, hating certain players? So, Emmitt Smith. I hated Emmitt Smith. Then I watched him with the Arizona Cardinals, and I was like, you know what? Because I thought it was offensive line, and yeah, he's good, but.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That was always my thing. Yeah, he's good, but. Then I watched him with the Arizona Cardinals. He was an old man. Old man. I was like, you know what? This dude's one of the greats.
Yeah.
I mean, his vision, toughness. And if you were doing a genetic lottery at the position, you're not picking Emmitt Smith ahead of all these guys.
No.
But then, like, you watch him tote the rock. It's like Frank Gore, similarly, even though very different. He has more physical gifts than Frank Gore. And you're like, dude, he puts it all together.
Yeah.
Vision, toughness, the ability to square up in the hole, bouncing out to the outside.
Totally.
I mean, Emmitt Smith was so underrated.
No, that's how I view a guy like Josh Jacobs, who did that last year.
Good
first
call.
Team All-Pro. He was the best running back in the league. Like, he doesn't have the physical tools. You look at him, he's a smaller guy, but he does every single thing you need. You know who else does every single thing you need?
Sorry, we're on a
football kick. It's all right. Joe Shasky coming up next. I teased the Stephen A. Smith thing on Zion. We're going to play it in the morning roast at some point because I know you and Bonte Joe are going to have a kick out of it. That's Joe Shasky. He's coming up next. Bonte Hill, Giants, Niners, anything, this or that on 95.7 The Game.